Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Inside and you'll find breaking out in me. Silence or rage for when you're by my side, bursting out the seams. Don't waste a moment, right now is all that we have. Lost our lives in the
fundamental show today, huh?
Yeah.
So, just got news about an hour ago that New York State legislators gave themselves a pay raise today. While most of us are in major ass credit card debt and having problems putting gas and feeding families, our Democrats passed a law that gave themselves a $32,000, not $32, $32,000 pay raise.
Yeah, for working a couple days a week, 6 months out of the year.
Yeah. Although there are some of them that do, you know, decent work on the side. Like, I mean, George Borrello, yeah, he probably deserves a $32,000 pay raise. He busts his tail. But the rest of them that are getting ready to pass a whole bunch of bills that don't belong there, and my inside source, who happens to be on the show tonight, Assemblyman John Salta, is going to be on the show tonight. He's going to be calling in shortly. He said he got held up. The roads were a little bit bad coming back from Albany because that's where he was. So I'm sure he's going to be all wound up. Tell us all about what they're planning on passing in January.
Yeah. And, you know, since they have the supermajority, they got all three branches. You know, they got the Assembly, they got the Senate, they got the governor. It'll just be like, okay, you know, this is the bill. Discussion, no discussion.
Yeah.
Okay, done, passed.
Oh, yeah.
So,
What? No. I was trying to get the phone number.
Okay.
Yeah, if you guys want to call in and talk tonight or ask questions tonight, Dean, why don't you read that phone number out loud, please?
Okay, it's 319-527-6208. And then after you call in, press the number 1, and that'll raise your hand on the switchboard so we'll be able to tell that you want to say something.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people on the switchboard typically, but if you don't raise your hand, we, you know.
We're not going to call.
Yeah, we just assume you're listening in. Speaking of listening in, you can listen in on freedomizerradio.com, blogtalkradio.com. We will have our podcast up on iHeartRadio as usual, Apple Podcasts, and, of course, on our D&D Facebook page. And we're going to be getting a website here soon enough where we'll be able to upload all of them. So you can find them easier.
So
on to some more news, aside from the fact that we're supposed to get some major blizzard. Maybe if they would stop manipulating the weather, actually,
yeah,
we wouldn't
right.
have these issues, right?
Exactly.
It's just so funny how it turns up right on a holiday weekend when they said they don't want people together because you might spread COVID.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't be with your family, but you can be at a football game with 80,000 people. Don't worry about that.
Right.
You're all safe there.
Right.
You're all safe.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, oh, my gosh, I have so many things saved, and we're going to be doing this with a migraine tonight. In fact, I think this state is what gives me a migraine most of the
I'm
time.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah, I mean, just the plethora of information that I get all week. My cat is playing with my key to my cabinets, and I'm going to have to go get that because if I don't, it's going to end up somewhere it shouldn't.
Yeah, so, it'll end up being lost. So other big news. NFL Hall of Famer Franco Harris passed away, I think, 2 days ago at a ripe young age of 72 years old.
Yeah. I mean, how many people have passed away this year? And they're either spraying us to death or it's just a coincidental jab.
Yeah. Do you guys think he was probably jabbed? I think he was.
Yeah.
You know, last picture I saw of him, he looked pretty good.
Yeah.
He didn't look all decrepit and stuff.
In fact, every week we do Operation Warp Speed update, and there was quite a bit of things that came through with the vaccine this week.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just pop a look here at what I saved. Well, before we talk about the vaccine, I just want to talk about the Senate bill that passed. The Senate passed a $1.8 trillion spending bill. Now.
Right.
I think I posted this on our Facebook page, so if you go through there, you'll be able to see a video. I think it's 11 minutes long with Rand Paul. Or is it?
Yes.
Rand Paul. I get the two of them mixed up.
And it was good. It was good. You know, it was 12 minutes long, and it's worth every second of it listening to Rand talk.
Yeah, and he was talking about the absolute nonsense that is in this bill. You know, and what they are spending our money on. And it's not you.
It's not us.
Yeah, it's not you. You're not getting a pay raise. You're not getting extra money in your Health Flex account or anything like this. Most of it is either going overseas or into a bunch of ridiculous funding.
Pork, yeah. And not pigs, not the other white meat. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really bad. It was over 5,000 pages. So So, of course, they passed that at 1 in the morning. Now, I highly doubt that most of the people that would have wanted to really read that would have read it when they passed it at 1 in the morning, 5,000 pages. I mean, who has time to do that the week before?
Right.
You know, the week of Christmas they do this.
Yeah.
Right? But if it would have failed, they would have shut the government down. So, of course, they passed it. We could not shut our government down. They're just too busy doing everything for everybody overseas and the illegals rather than you.
Right. Yeah, and I think we may have talked about it last week, but the city of New York has asked the federal government for $3 billion, dollars, over $1 billion a year for the next 3 years to take care of illegals.
Mm.
Now, what about all the taxpayers in New York City? Are they going to take care of us?
Well, I don't know. 32,000 times 106, is it 106 legislators? I'm sure that some of that will be going towards that.
Oh, yeah.
But to back on the Senate bill, it was $858 billion that they're going to be spending in defense, which is 10% more than last year. In non-defense spending, which whatever the hell that means, is an 8% boost. And there are $85 billion in supplemental funding for Ukraine. Now, hear me. I am 50% Ukrainian. My mother's parents came over on the boat from Ukraine. Okay, so I'm happy to be Ukrainian. What I'm not happy about is this absolute ridiculousness of supporting them with this amount of money. It's a hoax.
Well, and a lot of what they're doing, too, is they're, giving them guns and ammunition. So they want to take them away from us, but they're arming the Ukrainian citizens to protect themselves from Russia.
Yeah.
How does that make any sense?
Yeah. And they defeated Rand Paul's motion to get rid of this bill and not pass it by 65-31.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Schumer was one of them to push it through. Of course.
Oh, of course, Chucky, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It took 12 minutes. Literally 12 minutes to pass it through. So
mm-hmm.
It's absolutely, I just cannot. So while people in, our veterans are not taken care of in this country, everybody's dying of inflation. And, every time you go into the store, prices are up. More stuff is up. And then they have the balls to brag about the declining gas prices over the last couple of months. Really?
Yeah, right.
Really?
Yeah, what deals did Biden make with OPEC to get them to drop their prices? But then what I heard is that all the deals are expiring January 1st, so the price of oil is going back up again.
Right, just right after the holidays, just to give you a little bit of hope. Even though, I buy organic eggs. There's really only one brand I'll buy. There were two brands I was buying, and the one brand was pasture-raised organic eggs. And I finally thought, I'm going to look at the ingredients and what they're feeding these chickens. Well, they're feeding them soy. So if you really want to screw your hormones up, buy eggs because they feed them soy. So there's one particular brand at Whole Foods, and I don't have the name of it, but they specifically are organic, but they say soy-free. So I'm buying those now, and, they're $7.50 a dozen. But, the regular crap eggs are $5 a dozen, so, you get what you pay for. So, yeah.
Or you can go to my friend, the farmer on Grand Island, and his are like $3.50 a dozen.
Yeah, and I'm sure that he feeds them shit soy. So, like I said, you get what you pay for. So, I was in a local grocery store this past week. Now, I don't eat ham. It's disgusting. Pigs eat all the crap, and then you're eating it. But we could have a nutrition show at another time. But an organic ham was $101. I don't know how many pounds it was. I didn't even look, but I saw the price tag, and I was like, what? $101 for a ham. Which I hope everybody bought everything because now everything is going to be closed tomorrow.
Yep. They have the city of Buffalo, Erie County, which is the county that surrounds Buffalo. Buffalo, the city of Buffalo is in Erie County. They've got officially a state of emergency tomorrow. Supposed to get 2 to 4 feet of snow in the city.
Which is nothing, realistically speaking, because we deal with that all the time. It's the winds. But, you know, they were up spraying today, and they were spraying heavy. So they're just creating it. And you believe me or not, but really check out HARP and do some research on chemtrails. So let's go back to the vaccine. So Children's Health Defense, this was the Epoch Times. I guess unvaccinated blood is now in a very high demand. What about that young kid? I think he was 11 or 12 that had blood transfusion with vaccinated blood, and he ended up dying.
Yeah. You know, my dad, you know, he had several hip replacements and a knee replacement. And before he went into surgery, he always stocked up on he'd give a lot of blood, and that way if he needed a transfusion during surgery, he would be getting his own blood because he was afraid of AIDS.
Mm.
You know, and there were people that got AIDS, you know, from bad blood, even though they're supposed to be tested and everything. So,
well, I wouldn't. I don't know. I mean, that's they're going to vaccinate us one way or another. I mean, just that spike protein alone.
Yeah, and you know, you uncovered last week that the spike protein is transferable through, you know, saliva, you know, fluid exchange, saliva, sex.
Not just that, touching. It's also close contact or, you know, we're not talking about just sex. I mean, there's other ways that this is getting.
So, in other words, the unvaccinated could get vaccinated by the people that are vaccinated.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really, that just burns my brain. It really does. And so there's a bunch of cardiologists that are coming out and saying that the mRNA vaccines are causing high rates of injuries. Well, no kidding. And they're saying that they have to be stopped. And, I mean, look at Ron DeSantis. I don't know if you know what he did today, but he wanted to start digging a little bit deeper into these vaccines, and he has decided that he is going to, let me just try to find it. I lost it. Ah, he got approval from the Florida Supreme Court, and he's going to impanel a grand jury to investigate the jabs. Your Operation Warp Speed, all you Trumper lovers. You know, I'm not saying Trump is bad. I'm just saying that he's the one that had Operation Warp Speed.
Mm-hmm.
That's killing all these people. And funny how Ron DeSantis, who's supposedly his best golfing buddy, is going to come out and investigate these manufacturers. And you know, and I hope he does. I really hope he does, because the amount of people that have died from this vaccine and injured that no one talks about is mind-boggling. It's absolutely mind-boggling. So, yep, he's going to be doing that. So, good. Good.
So here's another one. It's going to make you Second Amendment supporters. It's going to make your blood curdle.
Oh,
if you haven't heard this already.
Mm.
The city of Buffalo is suing the gun manufacturers. This is, you know, Colt, Smith & Wesson, Glock, Carr, you know, all the gun manufacturers are suing all of them because of the gun deaths. So,
yeah.
Wouldn't it make
a big false flag over the summer.
Yeah. Wouldn't it make sense that they should also sue all the car manufacturers for all the, you know, there's what, somebody that dies in a car accident every 6 minutes or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah.
You know, you know, so people are, I mean, a vehicle is the most lethal weapon that we know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a couple of tons behind you, 5-6 tons or whatever it is. Yeah. So I guess if you don't wear your seatbelt, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your seatbelt doesn't work well. I just cannot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really cannot. It's absolutely mind-boggling to think that. Because they don't want us to have firearms, you know, and that's what they're trying to do here.
Oh, yeah, because
you know,
the Second Amendment, it wasn't so we could go hunting or, you know, we could go fight the British.
Mm-hmm.
It was so that we could overthrow a tyrannical government.
Yeah.
That was the purpose of the Second Amendment. The British wanted to take away all our guns, too.
Yeah.
So, and they got a bunch of lead instead.
It just is really. So what else? I mean, the amount of athletes, though. I mean, there's a page on Telegram that I can't look at it too much because it just, I start to get nauseated, but it's called MNRA Death Toll. And if anybody is on Telegram, you really ought to check that out. But this really goes deep into the reported injuries and, you know, just videos that people have sent of themselves, you know, with their injuries. So, yeah. here's a funny thing, and you can take it as you want. So Pfizer acquired Arena Pharmaceuticals yesterday. They are a drug company that specializes in cardiac medicines and autoimmune disorders.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, rest assured, guys, you know, Pfizer and Gates and all the other New World Order, plandemic people, they create the worldwide illness, and now they're going to sell everybody the treatment for it.
Well, that's typical.
Rescue of Big Pharma again, yes.
That's typical, you know, with today's medicine, you know, traditional, you know, Western medicine, is you, you know, give somebody a pill, make them take it every day, and they get some side effects. So then what you do, you give them another pill to handle the side effects from the first pill, and before you know it, they're taking a whole handful of cocktail pills because all of them cause some sort of side effect, and that happened to a friend of mine. She was wonky. I mean, it fried her mind. And then she went from 12 pills a day, prescription pills, down to 2, and she went back to normal again.
Yeah, and the FDA, I mean, they want to really ban supplements. And they actually have a proposal, a federal proposal to you know, get rid of and regulate supplements. If they get their hands in supplements, I would stock up now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're trying this with homeopathics, too. So, and speaking of supplements, and, you know, I actually had a few orders this week on a website that I use, so definitely stock up. There's a product that I use called the Zeolite, which helps chelate heavy metals, which we all have heavy metal poisoning, I hate to tell you. If you've had a flu shot, you have heavy metal poisoning.
And we're not talking
we're
Def Leppard.
We're not
talking Def Leppard here.
They weren't really heavy metal.
Oh.
But anyway, so if you go to the website Hope Health, it's H-O-P-E Health, .thegoodinside.com. There's a few products on there that I absolutely suggest. The super greens, which are like powdered greens. And there was a video I was listening to today about food shortages are even happening at Whole Foods now. And they were talking about salad. So it's a good idea to have powdered greens in stock, absolutely 100%. You know, because if you can't get fresh fruits or vegetables, you have this as a backup. And then the Zeolite, and then there's a whole bunch of different things. The New Year is coming. There's a 10-day detox on there, which I have done. It's a fabulous detox and very easy to do. I would highly recommend that, too. So it's hopehealth.thegoodinside.com, and I'm going to post that right now on our Facebook page, so it's up at the top, so you can see it. So, yeah, they want to get their hands in our supplements, and, you know, because why would they want to do that? Because they work, so they want to get rid of them so that they only have their pharmaceuticals available, see?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're just waiting for John to call in. And I can't wait. He's going to be on fire. And after that, he's going to have a whole bunch of news. So what else is going on in New York this week? We should probably go back to New York.
Well, you know, with this blizzard, and it's a blizzard warning. So, and I just learned this today. A blizzard doesn't necessarily mean a lot of snow.
Really?
What it means is
meteorologist
wind.
Here.
Yeah, what it means is wind and freezing temperatures. So they're talking wind chills below zero, and you know, and
what?
And,
did you like
and
totally
high winds?
Did you totally lose your train of thought there?
Yeah, and 60, 70 mile an hour winds, flooding. There's a beach that's a little bit southwest of Buffalo that they actually evacuated or recommended that the inhabitants evacuate.
Oh, really? That I didn't hear.
Yeah, Woodlawn Beach. Because there's going to be like 20-foot high waves that are going to be encapsulating those houses.
Mm. Yeah, and so the waves are going to be up, and I noticed mask wearing is up. In fact, somebody said they were at a function today at a very large convention center, and half of the people had masks on. So we're starting with that shit again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and on TV, now if you don't have a neck gaiter, or they suggested wearing a mask to protect you from frostbite.
Oh, good.
A
God.
New use.
How about a hat and a scarf? Woo!
Yeah, well, if you don't own a scarf. You know, so anybody in Buffalo that doesn't own a scarf, scarf up a scarf.
Well, we should go back on New York. Well, we could probably talk about this when John calls in, the plans to change the way we're going to heat our homes. I'm going to leave that article open because I definitely want to talk about that, how they're going to be getting rid of, you know, the gas here.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, but we should talk about this one, too, when he calls in, the assisted suicide. The assisted suicide going on.
Are you talking abortion or assisted suicide?
No, assisted suicide. Okay. Now the cat's playing in the box. Oh, my goodness. There you go. All right, so, what else we got? Lord knows there's enough aggravation this week.
Mm-hmm.
There's a funny thing that I picked up on Twitter. Elon Musk, he came out and, you know, we're on this whole pronoun thing now because you have to be politically correct, right? The pronoun thing. He tweeted out and he says, my pronouns are prosecute/Fossey. And I guess Jimmy Kimmel responded to him and said, your pronouns are ass and hole. And he said, then he came back and somebody said, I don't know who it was, but he said, your pronouns are pedo/file. I thought that was absolutely hysterical. Absolutely hysterical. Because it's the truth. Yeah, it's the truth. So we have a lot to cover with John. Is that him? 3-1. Yeah, that could be him. Because he gave me two different phone numbers. We'll try it. So I say we go to our first commercial, get it out of the way, and when we get back from our first commercial, we're going to bring John on.
Right.
All right, so D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond. Hang tight, guys. We will be back in 4 minutes. We're bringing on Assemblyman John Selka. Hang tight, John.
Most people say they hate wearing shoes and would go barefoot if they knew they were allowed. People say it all the time on their social medias. But they are worried that someone will say something to them. So everyone wears the cheapest flip-flops with the least amount of fabric on them. Most people do not even know that it's completely 100% legal to go barefoot into a store. Most people think that driving barefoot is illegal. But it isn't. Driving barefoot actually is safer than wearing most shoes. Going outside barefoot for a walk is one of the healthiest things you could do, but most people are afraid someone will say something. Or they quote the myths and the rumors that their grandma told them years ago. The fact is, there are no laws against driving a car, going to a store, or eating in a restaurant barefoot. So don't give in to bad fashion, hurt heels, or a broken flip-flop. For more information, please check out barefootislegal.org or find us on your favorite social media. Hey everyone, Proof here. Just wanted to ask you guys, are you guys tired of all the mask ordinances that are passing all over the place with people telling you that you're not allowed to buy and sell unless you have a piece of fabric over your face? Well, we sure are tired of it. Please check out realbarefaceislegal.org and help us get together to fight these mask ordinances. You can also find Bareface Is Legal on Facebook, either as a group or a business page. Anyway, help us fight back against these stupid mask mandates. RealBarefaceIsLegal.org. Do you buy from Amazon? If you do, do you use Amazon Smile? Amazon Smile is a program Jeff Bezos set up to donate to 501c3 nonprofits. If you go to smile.amazon.com and designate Barefoot Is Legal as your nonprofit, Jeff Bezos donates 0.5% of your purchase price to our charity. We need your support to fund our operations and promote the barefoot lifestyle. It does not cost you anything. Please consider helping us out. Go to smile.amazon.com and add Barefoot Is Legal as your favorite nonprofit and help us.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond. See you then. Okay, we're back.
We are back.
Thank God. Thank God for the commercials, bathroom break. So, it's such an honor to have our guest on tonight. He's probably one of the most genuine and nicest guys I have ever met. And he truly cares about what happens in New York State. I feel like when he went to the assembly, he was like, oh, my God. You know, he'd be like on his Facebook page going, these people are absolutely nuts.
I know. Personally, I don't understand why anybody would want to be a New York State assemblyman. You know, it's 2-1. They're ruthless in that house. You know, the Senate, yeah, you make the same amount, but at least you have a chance to get things done.
Yeah.
But anyway, John, can you hear us?
I can hear you fine. Can you hear me okay?
Yes,
yeah.
We can. We're so honored to have you on. Just to let you know that we are live. It's a nationwide radio show, and there is a little bit of a delay when we talk, so just want to make you aware of that.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. So tell us a little bit about what you did in assembly and what you're doing now. And then we're going to go into the nitty-gritty about what happened today and some of the other things that are on the table in New York.
Well, I'll try to make it as brief as possible. I started out 22 years ago with our local school board, and I became board president where I served for 4 years, ran for town supervisor, and won the election against a 18-year incumbent. And with Madison County, where I was elected, you also sit on the county board of supervisors. So I served there for 11 years and was elected to the assembly back in 2018 and have served 4 years. I served two-year terms. But unfortunately, because of redistricting and my inability, the way that the districts were drawn up to really – really properly represent the people I would have had to. It was just logistically impossible. My district was one town wide for almost 3.5 hours long. So with 90% of the constituents being that 3.5 hour mark. So I decided that it's in their best interest for me to just, you know, not run and seek some other things to do.
Perfect. Perfect. So tell us about today. I mean, Albany called an emergency session, and it was a dire emergency because they had to get more money, right? They had to get a raise. So tell us what happened today.
They're not calling it. We were calling it a special session. They called it a regular session. Regular sessions usually end in June. So for them to classify this as a regular session is being somewhat disingenuous. Of course, what they did, and I've been trying to spread the news as much as I can on my social media site, is what they did essentially is they voted themselves a $32,000, close to 30% pay increase, with really no public scrutiny at all. The bill was presented to the Assembly on Monday night so that the governor wouldn't have to file a message of necessity, because by law you have to have 3 days for the bill to cure. So they did. They made sure they crossed their T's and they dotted their I's. So today we debated it. A minority conference debated it for about 3 hours. But, of course, most of those debates fall on deaf ears, and they went ahead and pretty much voted along party lines, give themselves the second raise in 4 years. So in 4 years, their pay has increased over 80%. So as you can imagine, most people that I talk to at this point or have communicated with are extremely frustrated over this, but it's pretty much a done deal, as we knew it would be before we even went into session.
Yeah.
Wow, I wish my pay increased by 80% over the past 4 years.
Yeah, no kidding. So when they did their first pay increase, do you know what that was?
Yeah, I remember that back when I was I actually ran for the job 3 times. I won the 3rd time. The pay for a while was $79,500 a year, which to me is that's pretty good money. And when the year before I took office, they increased it to $110,000. So, again, great money. So it went from 79.5 to 110, and, of course, today it went to 142. So in a short, relatively short period, it went from 79.5 to 142,000. And one thing, too, that people don't realize is that your pension, your retirement, is directly tied to your yearly pay, because it's a reflection of your 3 highest earnings. So what they did today is they not only gave themselves a $32,000 increase, they also spiked their retirement. So this is going to cost the taxpayers millions and millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to add to the rest of the ridiculous budget, right?
So doing some quick math, so their salaries almost doubled in 4 years.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and along with, and this will be something maybe we can discuss at length at another time, but along with the fact that the day after this last election, another little Lulu kicked in, and now taxpayers are going to be supporting politicians' campaigns. So if a politician raises $20, all right, the taxpayers are going to go in and match that 1 to 6. So there's going to be a huge amount of taxpayer money being spent on politicians' campaigns, starting the day after election. So the law took effect the day after election. So you can look forward to subsidizing politicians' campaigns from here on in New York State.
So let me ask you something. Someone like Brian Higgins, right? You know, he raises tons of money and he doesn't even try.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he's in a very, very heavy Democrat district. So his opponents, they're out there with a tin cup begging, you know, for donations. So would Higgins, when he raises $250,000 at a fundraiser, would he get, the equivalent? And what about his opponent? Would he also get the money, or would it still be based on what you can raise?
Well, there'll be a cap on the matching, and for assembly members, you can raise up to $175,000 to be eligible for the matching. With Senate, I believe it's $350,000, I believe, that you can raise up to, and all that will be matched. And here's a good one. Here's a good kicker. The governor can raise up to $5 million and get a 6-to-1 match from the taxpayers. So you are talking about huge sums of money. In fact, no one could really tell me how much it's going to cost. So, of course, my next question was, where does this money come from? And here's where the devil is in the details. Well, there'll be a checkoff on people's tax returns that if they care to, they can donate to this fund. So, oh, all right, okay, well, what if few people, which, of course, I would be one of them, will not check off that little box that said I want to donate some of my money, my hard-earned money, then what happens is the money comes out of the general fund. So the taxpayers are on the hook for, I've heard, anywhere from $100, $200, $300 million. So, and people do not know this, and I've been trying my best to get the word out that you're going to be, and this is another great little twist, that if you run in a primary, you get that matching, and if you run in a general, you get the same matching. So you can double dip in 1 year.
Wow. Wow.
Wow.
So the way I hear it is the guys that raise a lot of money will get a lot of money in matching funds, but the guys that have a hard time raising money, they won't get as much money in matching funds. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, because it's a match, you know, dollar per dollar match. Or actually, it's a dollar per, it's a 1-6 match. I mean, I have to admit, I've never been, I hate fundraising. I just don't like doing it. I don't like asking for money. And I've never been a big-time fundraiser. I won my 2018 race with $15,000. And I never thought I had to raise a lot of money. But there are some districts where you've just got to go for the big bucks. And, you know, most members, even members in my own minority conference, are saying, well, if my opponents do it, I'm going to have to. Well, I guess maybe if we were living in the perfect world, everyone would say, no, we don't like this system. It's not right for the taxpayers. We're not going to do it. But that's not going to happen, unfortunately.
Yikes.
Right, right.
Yeah, and it's just such a slap in the face because so many people in New York, you know, they can't even pay their bills. They're racking up credit card debt. They're going to food banks. I mean, it's sad. And then it's a slap in the face, especially at Christmas. You know, people are struggling just to buy presents for their kids, and then they have a $39,000 pay raise. Stop.
Well, this is what happens when you have a 98% incumbency rate, okay? On the average, the New York State Legislature has a 98% incumbency rate. So this is the scenario. You go to work, you perform poorly, you perform the best you can, regardless, you're going to keep that job. So with that in mind, where is the motivation to really do a good job and to advocate for the people that keep you in office? If they're going to keep you in office, regardless of what kind of job you do, that is why we have to have term limits. We absolutely have to have term limits. Very debatable issue, no doubt about it. There's good points and bad points. But this would be one solution to, and now with this $142,000 pay, we are breeding career politicians like nobody's business now. It's a great job.
Yeah.
Stay in it.
Oh yeah, they'll want to stay because even when you, what's the retirement amount? You know,
it depends on what tier you are. You know, we're at $142,000. Here's the crazy thing about the state retirement system, is you can be in the state retirement system for 20 years, okay, and you can be in the state retirement system as a town supervisor, as a judge. Just about everything short of a school board member. But your pension payment is determined by your three highest years of earnings. So you can, for 17 years, make $10,000 a year. But for those last 3 years, you make $142,000. Your pension is a reflection of that $142,000.
Mm.
But you haven't put that much into the system.
And the crazy thing?
And
from what I understand, it's 2% of your number of years. So if you've got 20 years, you get 2% per year. So that's 40% of your 140 or 150,000, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you've got 30 years, you get 60% of your 100. And so plus, with I think it's 12 years or more, you get lifetime health benefits.
I'm not aware of that. I wouldn't be surprised. Unfortunately, I didn't. I definitely didn't rack up that much time. I've got a meager pension that I'll get from the state, but it's something I wouldn't depend on anyway. And it obviously was not why I was there. I was there to serve the public. And, you know, as difficult as that might be to believe, you know, from someone who considers himself a moderate politician, I was there to serve. And I was going to term limit myself after three terms anyway. That was it. I was done. Okay, I got there. I did what I wanted to do. And I was going to be saying I'm riding off into the sunset after my next term. But again, redistricting, which I should add, and this is another great thing, those maps that you voted on for your assembly members were unconstitutional. So a new set of maps came out about a week and a half ago, and those will be challenged, and we probably won't know what the constitutional assembly district lines are until probably next fall, because all the lawsuits and the going back and forth. But so essentially, the district maps are still unconstitutional, and those are probably going to change.
So does that mean that you could possibly be an assemblyman again?
Well, I've been appointed director of operations for our congressman-elect, Brandon Williams. He's a wonderful guy. I want to see how things work out with him. I'm excited about the new job. I'll be working in the majority, finally, and I'm really looking forward to being able to get some things done for our communities. Working with the congressman-elect Williams. So we're going to see how things shake out.
Yeah, that would be good, because I feel like sometimes we need to go back to the smaller communities and start at the town and the city levels rather than trying to blow New York State out of the water in one shot. It just doesn't seem as though it's successful. And just a note for people, this bill that passed today, giving them the pay raise, now makes our legislators in New York State the highest paid.
Well, that's because of the cost of living.
And I tell you, Diane, this is another little interesting part about it is it limits the amount of income, the amount of outside income, all right, that a legislator can make to $35,000, which I'm almost guarantee you that's going to change because they'll challenge it in court. But the pay raise starts the first of 2023. The requirement on the cell and the cap, the outside income cap, doesn't start till 2025. They've got 2 years to figure a way, not only to make more money, but to figure a way of how to change this. So that some of my colleagues were all upset about it, especially my colleagues that are lawyers were all upset about this. And I said, what are you getting so upset about? You know they're going to change it. They're definitely going to change it. That was just to appease people, to let people think that there are some controls. There's no controls over this. They get what they want. And I'm going to tell you a quick story, okay? And I don't mean to go on and on, but we had a bill. Our minority conference had a bill that would have helped, I believe it would have helped kids with disabilities with an after-school program. It was about $5 million for the program. Well, we brought it to committee, Children and Families Committee, and the chairman looked at it. And he said, I really like this bill. This is a good bill. This is going to help a lot of kids out. And we said, great. Why don't you let it go to the floor for a vote, Mr. Chairman? And he said, if I ever let a Republican bill go to the floor, I'll never hold another chairman's position again. And he killed the bill. He killed the bill.
Sounds like Albany. It does.
And that's what kills me about
it. It's absolutely insane. Absolutely.
Really. What I want to do is we have some people that called in questions and emails, but when we come back from our second commercial, what I really want to talk about is the upcoming, if you're all right with talking about it, is the upcoming legislation that's going to be coming up, because there are a lot of nasty bills and I know with our conversation today, nothing surprises me anymore in New York. You know, like, it's kind of like a, you know, an open wound since 2019 when they got rid of the religious exemption. My kid was affected by that. So it's kind of like having a scab all the time, and then it just gets ripped off and starts to heal, and then something else happens, and it's like, good Lord, you know? I have...
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, I brought up a list of some of the bills that are before both houses or one house or in committee, and I'll be glad to talk about them. You know, obviously, the big one is what the budget's going to be this year. We're expecting it to be probably $235-240 billion. And that's a whole other can of worms. But yeah, I'll be glad to answer whatever questions.
Yeah, and I have the bills in front of me, too, because some of them are just literally draconian communism bills.
You know, to put that in perspective,
pretty scary stuff.
Some billion-dollar budget, Reagan's first deficit was $200 billion. So our budget is bigger than the deficit that Reagan had, not the trillions that we've got today.
Hmm.
And I'll tell you, what kills me about government today is that when I was young, you know, if a Republican thought of something that was good for the people, the Democrats would be like, you know, gosh darn it, that's good for the people, and they'd vote for it because it was good for the people. Or if the Democrats thought of something that was good for the people, the Republicans would say, you know, that's good for the people, we're going to vote for it. Now, it seems like you only need three people in the room, the head of each house and the executive, whoever that may be, and this is national or state politics, and they make all the rules. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a system that is, and I said this from the beginning, I have a term for it. It's called institutionalized corruption. It's so embedded now within the system that it's institutionalized. You know, the committee system is rigged. I don't know what, you know, I was talking to a group of friends the other day, and they, you know, they said, well, what do you think needs to happen for people to wake up? And I was standing in front of a grocery store, as a matter of fact, and I said, what needs to happen, unfortunately, and I hope and pray it never does, but people are going to walk into that grocery store, and the shelves are going to be empty. There's going to be no eggs. There's going to be no grapes. There's going to be no cans of soup. You know, we for some reason, we just keep on rolling over again and again and again and allowing these politicians, classic instance of what happened today, all right? There should have been people marching in the streets about this, and there was silence. It was crickets about this raise that was not vetted by the public. They came in at the last minute. Of course, they did it after an election, and they knew they were going to get it. And there should have been people outside the assembly chamber screaming, you know, to tar and feather these people for doing what they're doing. Nothing. Nobody. Nobody out there doing nothing. I mean, it's just odd. It's just strange to see this.
It is. And, you know, I don't know what it is because, you know, we did a lot of the rallies. We've done rallies on street corners and going to Albany and screaming and everything. And, you know, they just don't listen to us. You know, that's the thing. They don't – I feel like the rallies, I mean, they're good camaraderie and everything, but I seriously don't know if they make a difference anymore because I feel like they fall on dead ears. And I think you're right. I think what it's going to take is a revolution. That's just what it's going to take.
And I have to agree. I mean, one of the things that I tried to be as active with as possible while I was the assembly person was just, you know, town hall meetings, just holding town hall meetings, making sure through my social media and whatever means possible to inform people as to what was going on. And I'd have a town hall meeting that was very well advertised. I might have 10 people show up. And here we had just, and I usually would hold one after budget time, where we spent billions and billions of dollars of taxpayers' money, and I wanted to have an informational session to let them know pretty much if need be, line by line, about what their money was doing or where it was going, and no one would show up. It was It was the strangest thing. I don't know what we need for people to be jogged into realizing that we're losing our freedoms right underneath your nose, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's happening. And
yeah.
I don't know what they're going to – I mean, look, the gun bills, horrible, horrible, unconstitutional bills. Nobody seems to be doing much about it. There's some court challenges, go before corrupt judges, and then it just kind of, well, okay, I guess we lost that one. I don't know what it's going to take. I really don't. It's been one of my biggest quandaries is what do we do to get people aware of what is going on? And so far they seem, you know, the high gas prices, high fuel prices. You know, I have a family in my district that is living in their garage because that's where the wood stove is. They're living in their garage. I mean,
and what's going
to
happen
story,
when they try to get in half because there's bills on the
senior
table?
Senior citizens cutting their medications in half, you know, just to ration them. I mean, it's just story upon story upon story of neglect and abuses and again, I don't know. If someone could tell me what we need to do, we would do it. But I agree, the rallies are great. They get people kind of worked up, and then they go home.
Right.
And that's it.
And then what are we doing about it after? And somebody just sent me this, and I'm going to leave you all with this before we go to commercial. John, if you won't mind hanging on for another 4 minutes while we go to commercial, we're going to dig into these bills when we come back. But there was a girl named Lori that posted on Twitter, and she said, when all the guns have been banned, when all the words have been censored, when all the history has been erased, and when all the freedoms have been taken, only then will you discover that you should have spoken up and done something about it. Very well written. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, they've said for years, if all of the 6.2 million gun owners got out of their living rooms and went and voted, you know, Cuomo and Hochul would have not served the extra terms that they did as governor.
Well,
but,
that could be partially true, but we do question election integrity in New York State, no doubt. So we're going to go to commercial. John, just hang tight. D&D delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. We'll be back with your questions and emails. Hang tight, guys. We'll be back in four.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison, the show about everything and nothing at all.
Join me, Dahl Arntzen, your host, Fridays, the Alaskan Patriot Network. I will bring you conservative views and news, both at home here in Alaska and around the world. So be sure to tune in Fridays, 2 to 5 p.m. Alaska Daylight Time, the Alaskan Patriot Network.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. and join us on Facebook, facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Tune in to the Alaska Patriot Network, Fridays, 2 p.m., Alaska time, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Sometimes as a Christian, it can be really hard to continue to find joy in our daily disciplines, even in biblical word Bible study. Honestly, we know we're supposed to find joy in it and get growth. That's why I named my new show Dynamic Word Bible Studies, because studying the Word shouldn't leave you unchanged. It should provide dynamic growth through your life and the power of God encountered every day. I'm really excited to start this on Wednesdays from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio. We're going to start out with the Book of Romans, one of the most important books to my early Christian walk. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're just learning about Scripture, this is going to be a great place to learn what it was that Paul was trying to tell the Church of Romans and the things that are important to us still today. Again, join me every Wednesday from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio for Dynamic Word Bible Studies.
Okay, we're back. At least I'm back. I'm waiting on Dean. John, are you there?
I'm still here, yes.
Okay. So, yeah, I want to get into some of the nitty-gritty with some of these bills that are planning on coming to New York State. And as usual, my cat is misbehaving and making noise in the background, so I have to move this paper. My cat, I swear people email us, we need to see videos of your cat. I'm like, oh, my gosh, she's so bad. So some of these bills, and obviously, you know, you're a good friend with one of our assemblymen here, Dave DiPietro, and, you know, every time they have a session, his blood pressure basically shoots through the roof, and he posts all over Facebook what's going on. And, you know, you would read it and think, they can't be really serious about this bill they're passing right now. But they are. I mean, some of this stuff is just, you know, off the wall. And I don't think January is going to be any different.
No, as a matter of fact, I think they're going to pull out all the stops. And I'll tell you why. And people were kind of lulled into a little bit of, things are getting better. Okay, the pandemic, according to Biden, at least, is over. They have used what has happened over the past 3 years as a test case, and they know now what they can get away with. And some of these bills that they have, like the Assembly Bill 8378, forced COVID shots to attend school. I mean, just over and over and over again, they'll be coming out with these bills. And unfortunately, they'll probably meet with very little resistance. And, of course, now that you have a supermajority in the Senate also, most likely these bills will sail through both the Assembly and the Senate, and the governor will probably not be able to sign them fast enough. But, again, I think it's incumbent upon us to get the word out that these things are going on and mobilize. It's going to happen unless we mobilize. And as difficult as it might seem to believe, with enough resistance, this is my guardedly optimistic side. We can back them off. But it's going to take a lot of work. Am I still on?
Sorry about that. You were on mute. My bad. But, yeah, that bill that you just mentioned, the 8378, of course that's sponsored by Dinowitz, mandatory COVID shot for K-12. Now, back in 2019, when they got rid of the religious exemption for kids to attend school, the parents are going to go, oh, I'll just get a religious exemption. Guess what? You can't. So you're going to be like the 26,000 families that we were forced to choose whether we vaccinate our kid, move, or homeschool. You know, those were our three choices. And a lot of people did move, but there were a big percentage of people that complied. But parents, you will not be able to get a religious or a medical exemption for your child. So my advice is, and I'm sure John will agree, you better start planning now. What you might do with that.
I do agree. And, you know, I had a Zoom call with a group from Wyoming County that are starting a chapter of an organization that is national, as a matter of fact. It's called Moms for Liberty. And there were some members on there that said, well, what do we do? What do we do with this? What do we do if this happens? And, again, I said, I'm just going to give you a cold, hard slap of reality. If you have a child in school right now, get them out and get them out as soon as you can. And don't look back, okay? And I know it's nearly impossible, especially someone like a single mom or people that have to work both jobs, you know, or two jobs just to, you know, just to make ends meet. But this is your child, okay? And what they have in store for your child, just like look at what's going on right now. Let's look at some history, okay? That deals with children. Okay, forced vaccinations for children in the works. Can't get formula. Rare. Now, you can't buy acetaminophen and ibuprofen for your child because that's in short supply. Look at what they're teaching our children in school. I have a group out of Clinton, New York, all right, who are livid because the Q Club went into their school without their knowledge, the Q Club, something called the Q Club, and was teaching the kids subjects like gender affirmation and how to masturbate. Okay, this is what's going on in the schools right now, all right? So
yep.
If it's not going to change, get your kid out of that school as soon as you can. And it's sad but true.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you, the whole single mom, single parent, you know what? There's always a way because I'm a single mom and I've been doing it too. And there's always a way if you really want to make it work. And I will never blow smoke up anybody's butt to say it's an easy thing to do because homeschooling is not, especially depending on the type of child you have. But to give that kid a shot is a possible death sentence, and we all know that. We're not going to, you know, ignore that elephant in the room.
Well, and then what about their new bill that, I guess what, if you're under 18, you can decide, the kid can decide if they're going to get shots, if they're going to have a gender change without informing the parents. What was the age on that?
I thought it was 13.
I believe that was, let's see, Bill A-3091 eliminates parents' consent to shots, to STD shots, when the child reaches 14 years of age, and that right now is in the Senate Health Committee. I was on the Assembly Health Committee, and I don't remember that coming before us, although there were a lot of bills that came before us. The big debate, obviously, was single-payer health care, which I debated against, but that doesn't mean that won't come up in this legislative session.
Absolutely.
Which we're going to be watching. We're going to be following very, very closely.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, that was sponsored by two Democrats, too, Kruger and Fahey, or Fahey? I'm not really sure how they say that.
Yeah, Fahey. Yep.
Fahey, yeah. Yeah. And, of course, you always see Holliman's names all over these bills. So I think we have a caller that wants to ask a question. So we're going to unmute them and see if they'd like to come on. Area code 716-901. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Good evening.
Hello.
You're live and nationwide with D&D. What's your question for John?
Oh, good evening. Mr. Salk, I have a question regarding, do you remember quite some time ago they were talking about vaccine passports here in New York State, especially during the COVID pandemic. Has there been anything else that's been done with that, or have they put that aside for something else?
Well, the problem with things like vaccine passports, see, there's a very gray area of distinction between what the legislature is involved with and what the bureaucrats want to do with state ed and state health. There is an agent or a committee called the Public Health Committee, a committee on public health or whatever. But there are a lot of decisions made by these committees that don't necessarily, they kind of do an end run around the legislature. And so when they do an end run around the legislature, they don't necessarily have to make it that public either, or at least they don't go to any great length to make it public. So a lot of these decisions are made by bureaucrats, and the legislature over the years has given them the authority to be able to do that. As far as I can tell, and we try to watch things pretty closely with these committees, is there's been no discussion at this point with any more elaboration on the vaccine passports. But again, when these things are discussed, sometimes they're discussed literally behind closed doors with very, very little public attention, very little public notice. And we, even as legislators, have a hard time finding out exactly what's going on. But I can say, as far as I know, and I think there's few people to watch these things closer, we haven't heard anything more about the intent to use vaccine passports. It really wasn't that successful. It really wasn't. So, but that doesn't matter because Albany does things that aren't successful all the time and throws tons of money into it. But I guess the short answer is I have not heard anything yet as far as vaccine passports. But if, in fact, they start strengthening the vaccine compliance laws, then they're going to have a way to monitor it, and passports is one way to monitor it. I hope I kind of answered your question in a roundabout way, but I haven't heard anything, at least over the past several months.
Caller, are you still there? I'm not sure if we lost her or what. What happened there?
She's still right there.
Still there?
Yeah, she's still there. She can talk if she wants.
Well, anyway, okay, well, thank you for your question. I hope he answered your question. And, John, there actually is a bill, and I'm just reading it, that kind of goes along with that, but it's Bill S-75A. Of course, another Holliman, Gottfried bill, two Democrats, that all adult vaccine records must be given to the state. So that's kind of like
Essentially, it does make, I spent 32 years in the medical profession, and the cardinal rule, you would be fired on the spot. I didn't care if you worked in, you were a CEO or you worked in housekeeping, you would be fired on the spot if you violated the privacy laws, okay?
Oh, God.
But since COVID, it's all an open book now. Everybody's an open book.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people put, I've had my COVID vaccine as their Facebook profile. I mean, seriously. You know, it's just the amount of ridiculousness that goes on every day is, I mean, there's still people driving around with masks and wearing rubber gloves. It's like, stop. You know, stop.
Well, you know, there were people in the assembly today, as a matter of fact. And, you know, I was a respiratory therapist for 30-plus years. I did fit testing. Okay, that was one of my jobs, and I can guarantee you, okay, and it's anecdotal, I never really made it a formal study, but when I did my fit testing using an N95 mask, 70% of the staff failed. Even N95s do not give a perfect seal, okay, and I was one of the few people that walked around the Capitol without a mask on, and I can't tell you the abuse that I was subjected to. Literally, people wouldn't let me get on the elevator. I had staff, not my staff, obviously, but I had staff screaming at me, wishing that I got pneumonia. It was incredible amount of torment.
I do understand that because I'm actually, legally medically exempt from a mask. And I cannot begin to tell you what I dealt with. But you know what? I stood my ground.
Good.
I had my proof. I had all the literature and, you know, every single time but one time I won because I'm like, I ain't backing down. Screw you. You know what I mean? That would be like telling somebody with Parkinson's that has a cane, you know, you can't use your cane. You know, you're just not sick enough. It's just absolutely crazy. The thinking is absolutely bonkers now.
Well, you know, when they first said you have to wear an N95 mask, I looked it up. What is an N95 mask? It filters 95% of the particulates, 0.39 microns, and larger. I'm like, okay, that sounds good. And question number two, how big is a virus? 0.13 microns and smaller. So what do these things do? They hide ugly teeth. That's about it. Now, I went into a grocery store, tried to go into a grocery store one time, and one of the local stores here, and they were like, hey, you need a mask. So I went out to my car, and I've got my U.S. Army surplus biological and chemical weapons mask, and you should have seen the looks I had wearing that into the store, with the cartridges and the plexiglass eyes and, you know, my whole head covered up and all that.
Yeah.
So they wanted a mask that would work. I gave them a mask that would work.
That's crazy. So we have an email here from Michelle, and she's from Westchester County, and she said, thank you for calling in to the show tonight, Mr. Assemblyman, John, so you're Mr. Assemblyman.
Oh, gosh.
Sounds so personal. She says, I have a college student, and I am concerned of the bill passing that is for mandatory COVID shots for college. And I did look that up while she was while you were speaking. That's S-6495, again, sponsored by Holliman and Zinowitz. So mandatory COVID-19 shots for college students. Can you address her?
Yeah, and I'm aware of the bill. And as a matter of fact, I have debated Mr. Zinowitz on issues, and it's an interesting experience. He's very condescending. He will admit when you ask him a question and you want that the answer to be something that's factual-based, he'll just shrug his shoulders and tell you, no, I don't have an answer for you. So, I mean, this is how arrogant they are, all right? And unfortunately, both those representatives are extremely powerful. They both have ties to the pharmaceutical industry, and they're going to use their position, all right, to make sure that these bills, you know, go through both houses. So if I could give an odds to that being done, of course, now with flu being what it is and more scare tactic coming down the pike every day, I'd say that that has a very good chance of passing. We'll have a new committee chair in the health committee where one of these have to go through, and if it's Amy Pollan, I can guarantee you a lot of these bills are going to sail right through the health committee, all right, because she's very, very pro-mask, very pro-vaccine, and in the health committee, you have Riveras, and he's a little bit more pragmatic about things, but he usually ends up siding with the majority. Well, he's in the majority, and so the chance of these bills passing is very high. It's very high. Nothing's a done deal, of course, until the vote, but there's very little resistance right now in both chambers to any of these proposals, and you have a governor who's itching to sign these bills into law. So there's a very good chance that 7829 is going to pass.
Yeah, that's really, really scary. So I think this email might be kind of a joke, but maybe he's serious. I don't know. Michael from Niagara Falls emails, and he said, I really want to know the truth. Should I move out of New York State or should we stay?
Well, that's a judgment call.
It's kind of situational, but I don't know.
That's a judgment call. And look, New York State is my home. New York State is home to millions and millions of good, hardworking, honest people. Unfortunately, we've given the wrong people the power to make critical decisions that govern our lives. I'm not ready to give up on New York State yet. I mean, I'm 68 years old. We've done well enough to live within our means, and it's come across my mind too. But I'll be darned if I'm going to let these people, these power-hungry politicians, drive me out of New York State. I'm just going to fight for all it's worth, and I just won't give up until I just simply can't fight anymore. Stick around. We need good people.
Yeah, and I think we're up to, what, maybe 1.5 million people that have left, approximately. It could be more than that now that have left since COVID started.
Yeah, it was like something like, 1,000 a day for a while that people were leaving. But that's what Cuomo and Hochul wanted. You know, if you're conservative, gun-toting, Bible-thumping, then you're not a New Yorker, right?
Right. Well, you know, I was on the elevator today with a colleague of mine who gave a speech on the floor in opposition to the raise. And he said, I think I made him notice when I said, you know, for God's sake, we simply can't do this. And I said, I don't think so, because you can't say for God's sake to people who have no soul, okay? I mean, they have very little regard, all right? They're obviously not a lot of strong Christians. I was there the night that they passed the Reproductive Health Act, and they were dancing in the aisles after just voting to sanction full-term abortion, dancing in the aisles, okay? It was surrealistic. It really was. It was one of the first votes that I witnessed when I became an assemblyman, and it's just a house it's a den of iniquity. It's an evil place. It really is. But we have to fight it with faith. We have to fight it with prayer. We have to fight it with, you know, be willing to roll up our sleeves and say, enough is enough.
Yeah, it really is. And I feel like people are just burnt out. You know, they're just burnt out.
But Diana, that's what they want. Okay, they want to burn us out. All right, and once they burn us out, we become compliant. And once we become compliant, we've given up our freedoms, because that's the compliance that they want. That's the requirement, all right, of compliance when it comes to the left, is their our freedoms are no longer relevant to them. They have no use for our freedoms, and I'm just simply not gonna give up.
Yeah, absolutely, and, you know, we shouldn't. So if you could leave our listeners with one or two words of advice, it could be more than one or two words.
Yeah, we got 5 minutes.
Yeah, we're uncensored. You can say what you want, but what would it be? You know, I know the upcoming legislation session starts January 5th, right? January 5th?
Right.
That's the first day? Okay, so they're going to go in and pump their egos up, and, you know, there's not too much that happens on the first day. They just kind of pump their egos up for the year. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. You know, they go in and they introduce the new members, and, you know, they carouse around a little bit, you know, and, you know, it's pretty much a matter of process. They come back the following week, and that's when they really start to dive into this legislation. I mean, like I said, I'll be busy with doing stuff on the federal level, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to follow things very, very closely and inform people of what's going on, you know, in their own state. And then I'll have a whole nother can of worms to talk about what's going on at the federal level. I guess, again, just to reiterate, this is a wonderful, wonderful state. It's still full of good people. We've got beautiful, beautiful land and clean water, and you know, the weather is what it is. There was a bear getting back from Albany today, I have to admit, on Route 20, you know. But you take that as part of living here,
And I'm going to have to be cautiously optimistic. I have a 28-year-old son. He deserves to live in a good country, to live in a good free country. And to me, our families, our homes, that's all worth fighting for. So don't let them burn you out. When you feel tired, you group together and you feed off each other's energies. And gosh, for that matter, you can always contact me on social media. I have two Facebook sites, over 10,000 followers. But please, reach out. I'll be glad to give you a pep talk.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, before we hang up, I think you know, or maybe you don't know, I run something called Free NYS, and there's a big Facebook page.
Yes, it's a great organization. Thank you.
Yeah, and it used to be 30,000 people in the Facebook group, but they shut that down. But I had posted just a little while back a random post, and I wrote, what is your major concern right now, with New York? What's your major concern? And a lot of people said, you know, the vaccine mandates, the kids, you know, with schools, what's being taught in schools was a big one. I'm just trying to find it. I'm trying to feed through my Facebook feed here to find it. But a lot of it was, you know, I can't pay my bills. You know, these were people that were being dead honest on this site, you know, saying, I can't pay my bills. I'm worried, you know, about my family. I'm worried about what's going to happen with the kids, you know, in school. So those, and there was a lot of comments. There was probably over 300 or 400 comments out of the 5,000 followers. And, you know, and they were genuine and heartfelt. You know, I've lived here all my life. I don't want to feel like I have to leave New York, but I feel like there's going to be no choice. So, John, we totally appreciate you calling in tonight. I'll be sure I send you this podcast so you could put it up on your websites and your Facebook page once it's up tomorrow. It's going to be an interesting session coming up. We'll definitely stay in touch. We know that you were a sponsor of the Divide New York bill, and I think there's more people on board now than ever than that, you know, splitting New York State into three autonomous regions. So we have about 6 minutes left. Is there anything you'd like to add before we have to hang up?
No, other than just thank you very much for this opportunity, you know, to be able to, you know, explain some of these issues in depth, and to make sure that we keep people informed, because information is power. All right, solidarity is power. Believe me, we're gonna beat these people, okay? Because evil cannot last forever. And that's why I said we have to pray hard, we have to stay united, and we have to make sure that we protect our families and our property. But again, I want to thank you so much for this opportunity. Anytime, I'll be glad to anytime. And also have a Merry Christmas and God bless.
Yes, good to see you, John. So we got 10 seconds left, guys. D&D delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. Don't forget to tune in next week. We're going to wrap up 2022, go over some of the fine points of 2022. We can't wait to see you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas. Be safe this weekend. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be sure we get this up for you tomorrow. Good night, everybody.